Hello, listeners. PG here with a glimpse of this week's bonus after show, available exclusively for our Patreon backers. Mike Dold and Rick George of Doldrick's Escape Room in Orlando, Florida, join us to continue the conversation in a more casual roundtable format. We talk about the intricacies of projection mapping, the regional flavor of the Orlando escape room scene, and the reality of running a small business with a young family. David shares some of the turning points when they decided to take room escape artists from a hobby to becoming serious advocates for the escape room industry. In this clip, David makes his case against using animatronics in escape rooms. When I went to Florida, I guess because of the proximity to Disney and the big theme parks, in my mind, I'm like, oh, I would like to see some small kind of continuation or echoing of what they do in the theme parks. And when I think of theme parks, I think of rides, but I also think of animatronics, I guess, from Disney.
I think that your spoopy in Graveyard Games is one of the few animatronics in escape rooms that I like. I generally dislike animatronics. I'm going to make my case against animatronics in escape rooms.
I'm ready.
My case for this is that when you are on a ride at Disney, and they use animatronics principally in rides, not like in the spots in the park where you walk around. Some of the more modern stuff at Universal uses it in the lines, and those are really advanced animatronics. These animatronics are in your field of view for seconds, and usually with many other things. So you are only looking at one animatronic for a few seconds. And so when their cycle is at most 5 seconds long, it's not registering to you as this is a 5-second loop.
Right. And you're discombobulated because you're passing by at velocity on some weird bumpy ride. I get it.
Right. So in an escape room, though, you end up stuck in the room, stuck in the space with this. And it's the only thing you're looking at. And so every imperfection in its movement feels
like an eternity.
And then the amount of times that you have to watch it cycle starts to each time the effect is diminishing until you reach a point where you have a very expensive prop. It's way past its shelf life in terms of in the player's field of view. And now it's not only not cool, it sucks.
I suspect they've spent so much on it and they want to like maximize your exposure to the animatronic.
It gets tired. It's the haunted house thing. You can have a really cheap haunted house prop as you're walking by and it can be super effective. But like you're saying, you put it in a space where you have to be in that space for 60 minutes interacting with this thing over and over again. Yeah, it gets tiring.
When you said haunted house, it made me think of when I'm in the haunted mansion at Disneyland and they stop the ride a lot because it's on the continuous loop and they have to pause it. If somebody maybe that needs assistance to get into the car,
right.
So they stop it a lot. And it's fine when you're merrily going through the mansion, but they'll pause it. And yes, now I'm spending an inordinate amount of time facing the animatronic in the haunted mansion. And you're right, David. It starts to kind of lose the magic when it's doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah. For me, in most cases, and I think Spoopy is a unique instance because you don't expect or want a lot of movement from your skeleton. And the emphasis of Spoopy as an animatronic is not on his movement, it's on the voice track and the work that's being done there, which is phenomenal and reactive. Your attention is frequently in other places there.
And I feel like an animated skeleton, I expect it to move in a weird, jerky sort of way anyway.
Your game show host behind a podium is not a high movement character.
Drew Carey's not pulling focus from the actors, and neither is Spoopy. And the other thing, too, is he's not looping. So he's up there. He has a little bit of darting eye movement and a little bit of a mouse wiggle. But otherwise, he's reacting to you. You're not watching him, waiting for something from him over and over again, doing the same motions over and over again. He's completely out of the way until you are, like Mike said, doing something correctly, doing something incorrectly, or if you're taking too long on something and he starts like taunting you or something like that.
Or you start talking to him.
They're like, Spoopy, am I doing the right thing? Or, no, that's not right, you know, or something like that. You're not watching him do the same physical motions over and over again, like you would on the Haunted Mansion or something like that, where you're seeing the same thing that's popping up every 30 seconds.
I think he's a very effective animatronic in an escape room. And I think most animatronics in escape rooms, especially when you start to weigh out like cost to lift, I think that in a lot of cases, you're probably better off with some form of projection mapping, which will be less prone to break.
I honestly think projection mapping is the future of escape rooms, just in really making them come alive. Like the few instances where I've seen it done well, I have just been transported and just really amazed at what they can do.
Well, then do we have a game for you?
Come play our new game. Yeah, we did some cool stuff with the projections in Crazy Train.
Listen to the rest of the episode now by becoming a patron today at patreon.com/roomescapeartist to access our library of over 50 bonus aftershows.